The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service by the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. Now, here's today's show.
Hey, nonprofit community world, I'm so excited that you're with us today, and you should be too, because we have truly the best of the best that I'm sitting with here, a good friend, a wonderful asset to our community in all so many ways. I can't say enough about Blake, but when you hear from him, you'll know why. I really treasure him, and I'm excited that he's here. From Blake Silverstrom from Heart to Heart, Senior Outreach of South Florida. He's the executive director there. Pretty new there, I think, right?
That's right, right. This is my my whopping 60th day.
60th today, day. So. But Blake has been in the nonprofit community for
quite a while. Yes.
Many, many years. But anyways, I'm Kara Zimmerman, and I'm the host here of the Forum for Nonprofit radio show. Thank you, Spirit of Giving Network, for sponsoring us and being the reason that we're able to share so much in the community about the good works of so many. So again, Blake, thank you for being here.
And thank you.
Really, without any further ado, as we say, please tell, I don't even know what you're doing at Heart to Heart. So what is this?
Well, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me. We've been, we've known each other for a little while now. So I've got to know your heart for the community and your passion for social causes. So this is great to be here. So Heart to Heart Senior Outreach of South Florida, we're a 501c3 based in Broward County, and we actually service the elderly population of South Florida. There's been this incredible demographic shift over the last few years. The national stats are alarming. About 10,000 baby boomers are reaching retirement age every single day.
That's me, I think.
And I'm getting close as well.
Yeah.
So, and here in South Florida, and of course, Florida, the state at large, has the largest population of senior citizens in the country now.
Florida.
And it is now the fastest growing population in South Florida. So we are seeing the sort of influx of elderly coming here, and they are literally filling beds in elderly care centers throughout our communities. Over 13,000 of them are residing in about 300 care centers just in Broward County alone. What we've found is that in about 65% of the cases, they're receiving absolutely no visits at all each month, and realize that there's this huge gap in the social and emotional support for elderly in care centers. So Heart to Heart, what we do is we actually work with churches and organizations and businesses, and we pair up volunteers to go in and basically love on the elderly that are that receive no visitation, that have they're outliving their relationships, their family and friends are thousands of miles away. And so we try to fill in that gap, and it's a little tragic. You know, we see so much value in this population, and they are literally spending the last season of their lives alone and literally forgotten about.
You know, that concerns me. You know, we're all getting to that age, and I wonder how do you get to that, as you said, season of life alone? I mean, do you think, oh, I'm going to move down to Florida and it's going to be warm and I'm going to make friends and da da da? You know, where is that piece where they're here and family members are not? You know.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. A little complex, but the reality is this: we're probably one of the few nations in the world that don't do a great job of taking care of our elderly.
That is what I wanted to get to. It's a cultural issue in our country, correct? How
it,
we
it
handle
is.
We don't take our parents into our home as the children, adult children.
Right, and I think there's a sort of, hey, it's just enough for me to survive these days with the economy the way it is and with the transient communities we have. So we think, well, the misnomer is that we believe that insurance companies and the government are taking care of our elderly, and that is a big misstatement, and so what we're seeing is these incredible people who have built this country, who are living it well into their 90s and even hundreds are being devalued, have no purpose and really no hope, and they're just basically counting the days. And it's a tragic thing for so many men and women in this country that have incredible value, and they still do.
Yeah, you know, the picture in my mind, I used to visit my grandma at a assisted living, you know, and I would go in and say, "Hey, Grandma Gertie," and you'd see all these elderly in wheelchairs just sitting, like, with their head down, like, you know, drooped, and just comatose, basically. Yeah. And or watching movies, like babysitting, like, let's put them in front of a movie.
Sure. And that is what's considered their social compliance for these care centers. Now, this is not to blame the care centers. The care centers are under extreme economic crisis right now, where because of insurance that are not paying as well, and because subsidies are hard to come by, a lot of these care centers are having to cut staff. And the first level staff is usually the activity staff. So now we have another large issue where there's not even enough staff members to even provide even the minimal amount of social activity. So for organizations like Heart to Heart, we were able to kind of fill that gap, come in and really build sustainable long-term relationships with these residents. So and our volunteers, they watch TV, they read poetry, they tell stories, they sing songs, and sometimes they just hold their hands. It's an amazing thing, the power of touch and the power of knowing someone's listening to you and they have a story to tell, and the stories are amazing.
I'm thinking about that movie. Remember that movie with Cameron Diaz and her sister, and they get in a fight, and she moves down to Florida, Cameron, and she doesn't have any job or anything, and she stays with her grandma in a over 55 community down here in Florida, and then she ends up, you know, giving of herself to a senior, like we're talking about a nursing home. And she actually develops a relationship with an older gentleman.
Right.
She ends up reading to him, and it opens up. It almost gave her more than it gave him, it seemed, in this movie, correct, for the volunteer?
Well, I think most people are well aware of the psychological impact of volunteering, what that makes you feel. So it is as much for the volunteer as it is for the recipient of that time. However, there's an interesting thing happening. So we see a couple of shifts. One is we're not providing enough volunteers. We're really chasing it, for us to reach all these volunteers and then to plug them into care centers. And a lot of it's an educational process, and it's really about advocacy. In my world, I spent the last 3.5 years working with an organization that finds homes for foster children, and to me, these represent the new modern day orphan, displaced, forgotten about, lonely, disenfranchised, and marginalized. And the number is growing bigger and bigger literally every single year.
So Heart to Heart, how long has it been involved in Broward County? Is it something that's just in Broward, or is it a nationwide program?
It's very unique to Broward County, and we're moving into Palm Beach County. We just are getting ready to work in some care centers in the Boca area. We've been around for about 5 years, and it's been sort of a slow start. But like with most nonprofits, it was birthed out of the heart and passion and compassion of one of our board members who saw his aging grandparents sort of being marginalized. And then because they were people of privilege, they were able to put them in a nice place and they were able to provide help. And what he found out that the majority of the population wasn't as lucky or as his grandparents were. And he said, wow, what about all these others? And the care centers range. You know, there's some that are literally like 5-star resorts, but they still don't make up for the social and emotional support that just we need as just humanity.
You know, yes, we need from in all aspects of life, we need that social contact community that you just don't find anymore. And I don't quite know why, but I think we all need that sense of, you know, belonging to something or a community, because we're social beings.
Sure.
Right? And what you're doing is, I mean, it's just so fresh in my mind with my grandparents, my parents.
Everybody has
sure
a connected story.
Most of our listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
Have been touched with this issue that you're, you're tackling. It must be, how do you take care of your own self in this? It's got to be somewhat depressing, no, or happy?
You know,
I'm putting words in your mouth.
No, it's good. I think, you know, one of the, obviously the dangers of volunteering for this population is that a lot of them, not a lot of them, but a few will pass on, you know, while you're building this relationship. So there's really genuine mourning that happens. But I think, you know, and again, maybe it's a little over-dramatic, but I believe we're all hardwired for good and for generosity. And it's really more about the person that you're serving than yourself. And I think if people can move into that space of saying, you know, how many people can I impact? Sometimes just with my presence, you don't need to be, you know, a scholar or a professional or a theologian to go in and just be nice to somebody and to spend time with them. So we see that 20 minutes or an hour that people are spending with residents is incredibly rewarding. And it really opens your heart up. You know, it's the only organ in our body that has the infinite capacity to love millions of people, right? So Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100, then feed one. So for me, it's like just the power of one can be very, very special.
So it sounds like, thank you for saying that. And it just sounds like really, you know, we'll give a shout out to the community that you need volunteers.
We
right?
do.
You need them, many, mega mucho.
We do. It's a, it, you know, and I, you know, obviously just like every other nonprofit, you know, of course we require funding. We're about 50% funded through foundations and the rest through private donations. But really more than anything else, we need, it's social capital. We need people who are willing to step up into that space and reach out and be what the community should be. You know, I spent 10 years in international nonprofit work, traveling the world. And it was extremely rewarding, and it was powerful to see all the diversity and disparity throughout our planet, but realize that this is a social justice right in our own backyard, and it's just as important as any other social justice cause. These are people who need people, and they need community, and they need to know they're loved. We see great value in hearing their stories. I just met a 93-year-old Holocaust survivor here a couple of weeks ago, And he was sharp, and he was amazing, and he has a story to tell. And whoever wants to listen to that story, he will tell it. And I'll never forget his number tattooed on his arm for the rest of my life, probably. And I think that's the connection that we're looking for.
Yeah, that in itself is quite a story, being a survivor, and now he has to survive in a different way.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, right?
Yeah, it's his last chapter. You know, let's fill it with purpose. So for us, it's about sharing love, providing hope, and restoring purpose to the elderly in our communities. And that's really what we want to convey to the public. And there's a care center probably literally within miles of probably everybody listening right now that could use your help. And their doors are wide open.
That's what I was going to ask you. Are they receptive when you come in? Like, is it like, oh, here they come, they're going to, or is it? I'm sure it depends on which one, but
it does. But overall, in most cases, one of the things that Heart to Heart does is that we do all of the, and there is some volunteer screening has to be done. We do the fingerprinting and the level 2 background checks because these are facilities that are under compliance, and there's HIPAA laws that protect all that. But we have found that literally every care center, even the ones that you would consider quote unquote high end or high level resort. They are willing and ready to take people in to just spend time. There's niche areas. There's donation drives and service projects, entertainment, holiday events, group visits. You can bring your family in. You know, these folks love children. Dog therapy, horse therapy. It's one of the things where they just keep saying yes, yeah, whatever you can do to enhance their lives. Especially at this time in their life, kind of bring it, which is great for us because it allows us a very, very wide menu of options for people to get involved.
Well, do you have, I know you're the executive director, so what role is that for you? Are you the everything, the fundraiser, the grant writer, the volunteer coordinator, the program director?
I have a very small but mighty staff. And I have a program director who works directly with the care centers, and she develops a relationship with the care center activity directors, and so she facilitates that. We want our volunteers to check in with them because they do provide a very clinical part of the care center. So there is a is a real powerful reason why volunteers are important. And then we have a communications coordinator. We have a volunteer coordinator. That's it. My role, really, honestly, and it's probably even consider yourself this, Kara, is that I call myself an advocate. And for me, it's to be a voice for the voiceless and to defend the defenseless. That's been my life for pretty much all of my life. And so for me to be able to step in this role, see a new crisis brewing, a new social justice, this new social cause happening right in our own communities, I want to be a part of it. So
I can just see you. I'm thinking too, like, I could just see you standing up on your car, like screaming, people, look at this, you know, look at this issue. We need help. And, you know, I think that elderly isn't, you know, like people say they want, and social workers, I want to work with children and families. Mm. Why? Because I think it seems more, what's the word, you know, savvy. I want to say like just more, you have more people interested in that demographic versus the elderly, and especially like in social work schools, that, you know, the kids tend to go towards children and families versus the elderly. And I think it, again, it's a misnomer. It's not, it, you can get just as much pleasure and enjoyment and satisfaction working with that population.
I think so too.
You know, I don't think it's been given enough color to it, you know.
It's an interesting I've used this in some of my conversations with small groups, but you know, it is true, the cause of a child, especially a child by no fault of their own, have been abused, abandoned, and neglected, and there's literally
so
right here
many.
In South Florida, over 4,000 a year are removed from their homes due to that. And that's so, that it seems highly unfair, because these are children who, you know, have a huge future. You know, they have years to live. And I think there's that. Then you look at someone who's a senior citizen, or saying, well, they've already lived their life, and you know, but the reality is they have so much to give still, you know. And I think I use this in group settings, you know, if you have a child, would you take a bullet for your child? And I would say 100% of everyone would say, of course, my own child. The next part of that question is, would you take a bullet for someone else's child? And if you have a heart for children, in a lot of cases, they'll say yes. And the reason is this, because that child, it's unfair. The child has its whole life ahead of them. But would you take a bullet for a stranger who's an adult or a senior citizen? And the answer is probably no. And I think that is very indicative of our society. I know it sounds unfair, but it's a good litmus test on where our concerned social values are. And so those are the things that we struggle with. But I do believe that this is a very easy place for people to start volunteering. It's like a toe dip in the pond. Just go in and say hi.
Wow. So. Awesome. Well, we'll get more information about how to do that. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Sure.
And we'll be back with Blake Silverstrom. Thank you.
I definitely feel like the words veteran and homeless should never go together.
Sergeant Michelle Garcia served meritoriously in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I had friends, and you know, I went and stayed at a friend's house, and then I realized, well, you're staying at your friend's house, but how long can you stay there? Where are you gonna go? Where are you gonna call home?
Lieutenant Richard Stokely took the skills he learned in Vietnam and put them to use as a paramedic. But after they left the service, these veterans had problems with homelessness. Michelle lost all her savings, and Richard battled alcoholism for years.
It started taking me down, all the way down to the point where I lost my family and I ended up homeless.
A simple phone call to 877-424-3838 put them in touch with the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you are a veteran in need, or you know a veteran who is homeless or at risk of being homeless, call 877-424-3838 or visit va.gov/homeless.
Hey, community, thank you so much for hanging in there with us. I know you're at the edge of your seat listening to this compelling story from Blake Silverstrom regarding heart-to-heart senior outreach of South Florida. And Blake has been talking to us beautifully and eloquently about, you know, the nature of the elderly, what their struggles are, how our society and the nature of it treats our elderly, and the fact that the population is growing and growing and growing, not decreasing. So heart-to-heart is attempting to bridge that gap. So thank you, Blake. I know we were talking about, you know, the difference between children and families and elderly, and you were talking so well about, you know, the appeal is more to family and children, and you're trying to, and dipping our toe into trying to volunteer, just giving it a try, right? Absolutely. So how do we do that? What are some of the steps that we need to do as a listener to, you know, now that we're compelled to do this, how do we, you know, what do we need to do to volunteer for you?
Well, that's a great question. You know, so for us, we want community on both sides. So ideally, if you are part of an organization or a small business or a large corporation or a faith community, we would love to have that in that space with you, because you're going to need that kind of support as well. But you could contact us at info@hearttoheartsenior.org, heart2heartsenior.org. You could also go to our website, which is hearttoheartsenior.org. Or you can call our office numbers, 954-315-2218. And we can have that conversation with you. And I think it's just a good dialogue to start. There's a lot of we live in a country that's blessed and cursed with statistics. I could rattle off numbers all day long. But the reality is that these are people who just need to be loved on, and there's no wrong or right way to love on somebody. You know, you just be real. Open up your ears and your eyes and your heart and your mind to who you're with and what you're saying, and you'll be blessed. But I think we want dignity in this aging conversation. That's all we are asking for, is how do we honor and respect and restore purpose in our lives.
We didn't use that word yet, no. Dignity. We should have started with that, perhaps, not should, but it just rang a bell when you said dignity, because yes, and that's where it starts. Is the conversation has to bring dignity, respect, joy into the senior population, because let's face it, we're all going to be there.
Sure.
But it's just not, as we said, sexy to talk about, you know, getting older. None of us want to talk about it, deal with it. You know, we have this image of how we look, and, you know, getting older just doesn't fit.
It doesn't.
And I don't know if, I hope that someday when we, you know, when we're talking, that has changed, and that I'm sure in other countries, they deal with aging and dying and elderly a little different than we do.
They do. You know, in most countries, you'll see families, generations living in the same household. Sort of the respect of, you raised me, now I'm going to take care of you. And, you know, I think that is changing in the first world nation setup, you know, but in places like Southeast Asia and some parts of South America and Central America, you see this honor and respect. And really it is. It's a dignified way to... you know, to have that last season of your life, to spend it well with people who love you and who want to be around you. You know, we've heard all the, all the jokes about South Florida being America's waiting room, or this is where America comes to die. And it sounds funny, but suddenly when you're facing the mortality part of your life, it's not a joke anymore. It really is becomes a very depressing issue. The suicidal tendency rate of elderly in Florida is at an alarming percentage. You know, you have depression, and you have a younger generation that's coming into care centers too because of poor life choices. We're now seeing 50 and 60 year olds who are coming to care centers. It's a very difficult thing for a care center that's been dealing with 70, 80, 90 year olds, and now they're seeing a younger generation come in, and they still want their social media. They still want to be on their phones, and you know, they're in the same wing of a care center with someone who's 95 years old. So it's a very, very different dynamic now.
I have not heard that. That is very, very interesting. So you're saying life choices, maybe
addictions, poor health, poor nutrition, obesity, diabetes, and again, you know, they've lost their ability to find people in their family to take care of them because their care requires more medical or clinical, and so now they end up in these care centers. So it's a shifting population there as well.
That is so interesting. You know, another thing too, my aunt, who's 82, her husband has Parkinson's and she can't deal with him. He's, you know, very heavy, he can't move.
Sure.
So she's in the apartment and he's in assisted living.
Right.
So they're living apart, so she has to drive over there every day and make sure he has this and that. I'm like, what kind of life is that for her, too, and him? You know, so we're seeing all kinds of different scenarios of this aging situation, right?
Yes, right, exactly. And I think we're going to see some critical mass in the next few years with some of the population shift. So we want to be ready for that, and we want the community to be ready for that. I mean, this is not a bad thing. You know, let's be ready to love on people. I mean, that. What a great call to action that is.
Yeah, this is a call to action. That's what we're calling to action. What's that phone number again?
Yeah, 954-315-2218. So
call to action, 954-315-2218. Anyone there will be glad to answer, to take your call, to volunteer, to talk, to figure things out, to figure out how to love on someone.
Yeah.
And again, Blake Silverstrom, Executive Director, Heart to Heart, Senior Outreach of South Florida. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, Kara. All right. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service of the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. And tune in again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.